God, you are wonderful. You are great and mighty. You are the creator. Again, Lord, we just declare that you are our strength and our fortress, our shield, our refuge, our healer, our deliverer, and our soon coming king. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives and dwells with us, that you lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, we ask you, Lord, to bless today. Just speak. Holy Spirit, just come and speak to everyone here, to everyone watching and listening. Lord, we ask you to touch people and let the truth set them free. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We welcome everyone. Fire and Grace Church, hope you can hear good out there. I welcome those on Blog Talk, Facebook, and YouTube. Finally, internet is back. That's a good thing. Praise be to God. Something else. Anyway, let's take our Bibles this morning. I don't know. I just entitled this today, Contending for the Faith. But there's a lot. I just want to share some things that are on my heart. I don't know. I don't even know if we'll get to this illustration. We may or we may not. But I tell you one thing that's important. And one thing that the thing that's the most important in your life as a Christian, if you're going to walk with Jesus and if you're going to believe in him, the most important thing is that you spend enough time with him in prayer and time in the word that you learn to hear his voice and you learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You learn to discern what's going on around you in the spirit, not just according to your own understanding. And I'll tell you the beautiful thing about true biblical New Testament, New Covenant Christianity is that we can have a relationship with God where we hear his voice. Did Jesus not say in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, right? The Lord told us in John 16, he said the Holy Spirit would come, fill us, and he would speak to us, and he would show us things to come. And there's nothing better than that. But what I want to share with you this morning a little bit is just that some things that I just have sensed in the Spirit, and I want to share with you how the Lord spoke to me last night about some things. But I sense in the Spirit this morning, and really starting last night, I shared it with Nancy. It's funny because I got up yesterday morning, spent some time just hanging out with the family and breakfast and all that stuff. Then I went and prayed for a while. And then, of course, I took my break and came out and started cooking some chili that my wife had to fix because I haven't cooked chili in years. Decided I was going to watch the Auburn game and then go back and study. But, of course, I've been studying stuff through the week. But all day long, I could just sense in my spirit and the Holy Spirit helping me discern what was going on. But I just continued to feel this heaviness, almost an overwhelming heaviness, almost a depression-like feeling, almost like just a sadness come over me. I look around sometimes, of course. Now, my critics out there take this wrong when I say it, but I tell my wife in a joking manner, you know, I said, there's just times that I feel a disturbance in the force. And what I mean by that is in the spirit realm, if you are truly born again and walking in Jesus and have the Holy Spirit, you should be sensitive to the spiritual atmosphere around you, what's going on, because there's definitely increased demonic activity, especially this particular month where all the witches, ghosts, and goblins and demons get glorified in Halloween and everything else. But we know from, you know, and I know from my first convert being a witch, Satanist, being trained to be the high priestess of her coven, I learned a lot about the month of October, and I experienced a lot of things trying to help her and cast the demons out of her and deal with all of her supernatural stuff back in those days. But I just want to say that whenever you feel an increased heaviness upon you, whenever you feel an increase like depression or sadness or just, and it's for no apparent reason. And, you know, I went back in prayer and I'd been in my office for a while and I came out and I just told my wife last night, I said, I just feel this heaviness, this almost depression. And I'm not depressed over anything, but just I feel this sadness, this heaviness. And she goes, I do too. And I said, because we hadn't even discussed this all day long, but there was just a weird presence coming in. And so it continued. I stayed up till about 11 o'clock last night, praying and studying. And then I went to bed and I don't know, I couldn't go to sleep. I don't think I went to sleep till about midnight. And then I woke up at 2 and there was still this feeling like I needed to get up and pray. So at 2 in the morning, I got up and prayed till about 4 and decided to go back to bed and got back up at 6. I mean, I had a weird night. But the spiritual warfare is just increasing, and you can't just sit back. And I guess I want to say this too, you can't just sit back and let it beat you up. Let it beat you down. And, you know, that's what I did. When I got up at 2 this morning, I just went to town on breaking curses and spells and witchcraft and rituals done against us and words spoken against us by other Christians. I began to break those curses and spells and bind those demons in Jesus' name and resist the devil. I mean, the Bible says that we have to actively resist the devil. We have to bind the strong man if we're going to spoil his goods. We have to resist him. We have to fight him off in the name of Jesus. We have to spend time in prayer and the word, or you're not going to fight it off. But as I prayed this morning and as I fought it off, it still didn't lift. And I just began to ask the Lord, what is this? And I guess what it is, more than anything, it's just a tremendous burden that I have and sadness that I feel. Because all week long, in the last few weeks, I guess just seeing how so many Christians out there are so deceived, and just seeing how widespread false teaching, lies, deception, how so many people that call themselves Christians really just do what's right in their own eyes. They choose what to believe. They choose what doctrines they're going to believe or not. They just all kind of screw. There's just all kind of screwy, looey, crazy stuff going on out there. And I've been in the church a long time. I've been in the ministry a long time. I have never seen things this absolutely insane when it comes to deception, false doctrine, false teaching, wrong beliefs, wrong interpretation of scripture, wrong, just completely. And we're talking about some of this stuff. People are getting so far off. The fact I watched a series of videos yesterday that just disturbed me about Christians leaving Christianity to go to Judaism. And that journey began with their Torah observance and trying to keep the law of Moses until they decided they didn't believe the New Testament anymore, that they could be forgiven without the blood of Jesus. I mean, I'm sitting here watching and I said, Lord, I am watching what you foretold in Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians 2. We are watching the great end time spirit of deception. What Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1, when he said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And that's what I guess I'm beginning to run into. I'm seeing so many Christians that it does not matter how much scripture you give them in context, grammatically, contextually, historically, in the original language, definition of words. It doesn't matter how much sound doctrine and theology you give them. They are just possessed and controlled by seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, and their conscience. And that means their ability to discern what is right and wrong, what is true and a lie. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, meaning that they cannot feel, they cannot sense, they cannot even grasp it. I mean, I'm blown away. I mean, it's like it's been constant contention, constant strife. You guys don't know. Most of you left Sunday, but, you know, I stayed here till 3, almost 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock or whatever it was. I think, yeah, we finally ate lunch at 3. But I stayed here till 2 o'clock trying to talk sense into a Christian who's convinced that they must keep the law of Moses, to the point that it came out of her mouth that basically the writings of the apostles in the New Testament is just commentary. And I'm just like, and I'm sitting there having this discussion to the point of absolute just, are you kidding me? And I'm sitting here going, what do you not understand about old, new? Why can't we get that? Old covenant, new covenant. Why can't we understand the simple concept that Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but he did fulfill? Why is that so hard to get? And the Lord finally started getting across to me, they are possessed. They are controlled. They have given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and therefore their conscience has become seared. This is why it's so important that, number one, you are very careful to stay in prayer, to stay in studying the Bible and reading the Bible, but also to be careful who you listen to, who you let teach you and preach to you. Because we are watching the Church of Jesus Christ. Many within Christianity are departing from the faith because they're giving heed to these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, to the point that some of them are denying the Godhead. They're denying the actual Trinity. And when I say that, I mean one God, but has three distinct parts, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but one God, but three distinct manifestations. And they're denying that they actually, one's even denying that they need the blood of Jesus to wash their sins with, that they can be forgiven without that, just by keeping the law of Moses. I could not believe the blasphemy, the deception that I'm hearing. Many of you in here know who I'm talking about, but the person last week, I mean, think about this. This is how crazy this is getting. The person I tried to discuss this last week, of course, last week from Wednesday to this past Wednesday was the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, as they call it, which is a 7-day feast, which basically, according to the Old Testament, you're supposed to stay outdoors, build a little booth, and stay outdoors for 7 days, which God had that feast incorporated because it was to remind them of their years of living in tents in the wilderness after God brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. And so I'm like, people will say, and this individual said, "Oh, we don't have to keep the law to be righteous. It's not a requirement. I don't believe that, da 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 da." Yet they were willing to take their children to live in tents and under this booth in Tropical Storm Nate. Now, you're not telling me that you can't look at the weather report and see that a hurricane is moving through the state of Alabama and it downgraded to a tropical storm, but we're talking about tornado watches, tornado warnings, high winds, heavy rain, lightning and thunder. I'm talking about it was pretty bad. This is why our internet was out here last week, because of Hurricane Nate that became Tropical Storm Nate. And while they're out camping, you know, keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, the tents, fill up with water, the booth they built, the Sukkot, the booth they built, caves in and nearly falls on one of the tents. And I'm like, you couldn't figure out that maybe this might not be that important? You tell me you're not compelled to keep the law of Moses? You don't feel like you have to do it to be righteous? And you can't, you don't have the sense to not go out and live in booths and tents in a tropical storm? This is the insanity that we live in. And I have to say, I mean, it disturbs me to see such deception to the point that common sense goes out the window, not to mention the New Testament goes out the window, and the Old Testament is all above the New. But this is just one thing. And I guess after a while, when you see all this and you hear all this again and again and again, and now, of course, this individual who needs great help, as well as her children, won't receive what she needs because she's determined to keep the law. She's determined to stay under that. And so she won't find the deliverance, the healing, the protection, the things that she needed. Why God sent her to this church? And she had supernatural direction, God giving little children dreams and visions and to lead them to come here, so specific and so clear, to get the help and the truth she needed. But once her idol was confronted, which is trying to keep the Torah, that's her idol, to the point you're going to take your kids, risk your kids' life in a tropical storm. It's sad to me. And I guess that sadness coupled with you guys don't even, again, you guys don't even hear a quarter of the stuff I hear. A woman that used to walk in the basic truth of the gospel, the simple truth of the gospel, that we're saved by grace through faith, that we're not under the law of Moses. This woman used to help my wife and be at the Pregnancy Resource Center to counsel women considering abortions and to lead them into the church. And this woman continues to contend with my wife now after she's left her church and gone into this Torah movement. She keeps contending with my wife. And so what I'm getting at is yesterday, you know, I get up here a lot of times and people think, oh, he's a meanie and he's too gruff and he's too harsh and he's too strong. But I want to tell you something. I come across as harsh sometimes and gruff and too strong, but it's because I care. If I didn't care, I'd be preaching on how you deal with stress at work. And let's everybody go make brownies for the neighborhood so we can build a church. If I didn't care about the truth, and I didn't care about your eternal soul, and I didn't care about you falling for deception, I would not continue this constant fight. I get weary with it sometimes. I'm human. I get tired of this fight. As did Jeremiah. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 15. Just so you know, Jeremiah 15, verse 10, you know, Jeremiah, God called him to speak to the people of God, to warn them of the judgment that was coming. And that's another thing. Judgment is coming. But he said this, and this is how I feel sometimes. Look at verse 10. He says, the prophet says, woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife, a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on interest, nor have men lent to me on interest, yet every one of them doth curse me. But then the Lord spoke to him. The Lord said, verily it shall be well with thy remnant. Verily, I will cause the enemy to entreat thee well in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Shall iron break the northern iron? and to steal thy substance and thy treasures will I give to the spoil with price, and all of thy sins even unto thy borders. And he tells them, the judgment's coming. You're not going to stop it. But the Lord tells him, I'm going to watch over your little remnant, your little group. I'm going to watch over you. And then he complains even further. Look at verse 15. He says, O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me. Revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing in my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuses to yield? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as others that fail? And yesterday, in my time of prayer, I just said, Lord, I'm tired of all the contention, all the strife, and watching, having to fight all the deception and the lies and the false teaching and the false doctrine. I said, I'm tired of it. I get tired of it. I get weary with it. I said, honestly, Lord, there are days I wish I could just stop. I said, I'm tired of this. That's what I was feeling like. It was woven to me, you know. I'm just a man of strife and contention to the whole earth. So this was earlier in the day. I'm praying. I'm just saying, Lord. And there's things that, you know, I'm seeing all this stuff, and there's a million things I could preach on. And I'm sitting there going, Lord, why is it so heavy? Where is your presence? Where is your peace? Why are so many Christians so absolutely crazy, deceived, and stubborn? And I'm just sitting there going, Lord, I've talked and talked and preached and written books to fight false teaching and false doctrine and try to keep the foundation of our faith before the eyes of people that I am responsible to preach and teach. So what I'm getting at, I was feeling a little blah. Anybody ever felt a little blah? A little tired, a little frustrated, a little weary? Well, but I'm going to tell you, God's beautiful. I'm going to tell you, he speaks. Because I wasn't thinking about this, but after, you know, my team lost, a horrible loss, I was like, well, I shouldn't have even. It's probably my payment for taking time out to actually watch a football game. I said, well, I'm done watching them anyway. Now, after that one, I'm through. Finished. But I was back in there praying, and the Lord spoke to me. And I said, I say this, and listen, a lot of times you need to say this to the Lord. Lord, I really need to hear from you today. I need you to speak to me. And he speaks in different ways. Sometimes you will hear his voice, that still small voice inside of you. Sometimes he'll bring something to your mind. But I was saying it. I was saying, Lord, I really need you to speak to me. I want to know what is it you want me to read in the Bible. You ever ask the Lord what he wants you to read? As I'm saying this, I'm just opening the Bible. I'm not doing one of those, okay, God speak to me, I'm going to open the Bible. And that's what it's going to be. That's not what I was doing. I was praying. I just said, Lord, I really need you to speak to me right now. And so as I'm opening the Bible, it opens up to the book of Jude. I want everybody to turn to the book of Jude, right next to the book of Revelation. Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. And it was interesting, as I opened to the book of Jude, the Lord said, read this, and this is, I heard his voice inside of me. And he said this, read this in Psalm 27 and Psalm 127. So the Holy Spirit is telling me, here's what you need to read. The book of Jude, Psalm 27, Psalm 127. Now, I thought, you know, for me, a lot of times I'm like, How many times have I read the book of Jude, the one little chapter book of Jude? Dozens and dozens, probably into the hundreds of times. There's no telling how many times over 3 decades that I have read the book of Jude, studied the book of Jude, almost have it memorized. Actually, at one time I did have it memorized, word for word. And so a lot of times you think, well, I've read this before. How can God speak to me again? But the moment I started reading and I hit verse 3 is when the Lord reminded me, I've called you to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Contend, fight, struggle. Let's read this. Jude 1, verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto judgment of the great day. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities run about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, I'm not going to go into everything that I was talking with the Lord about and everything that was in my mind, but I want to tell you something that's beautiful about God and that you can have and I can have, and it's amazing how he will speak to us and in our spirit and speak to us through the scriptures. Because everything that was a burden on my heart as I read the book of Jude, as I read Psalm 27, as I read Psalm 127, every single thing that had been stirring in my heart that day, that had been bothering me, that I'd been contemplating, God spoke to me about every single one, and the peace of God came over me. But one of the things he spoke very clearly to me is like, don't forget, son, I've called you to earnestly contend for the faith. So anybody out there that thinks I'm a little too passionate sometimes, or I'm a little too fiery, or I'm a little too strong, just remember this. It's because I care that the people who hear the sound of my voice, I care that they understand that this is a serious matter. That the Word of God, the truth of God, sound doctrine, putting things in proper context, understanding the Bible in its proper context, all of these things are vitally important and will determine people's eternal destiny, either in heaven or eternal damnation in hell. There's a lot of people even beginning to deny eternal damnation in hell. I found out that that's a teaching of Judaism. Judaism believes in hell, but believes that no one will go there permanently, eternally. And that's what I'm finding a lot of people in this Torah movement, in this Hebraic roots movement, in this Hebrew movement, are beginning to adopt the beliefs of Judaism and not the beliefs of the New Testament, not the beliefs of the Bible, concerning hell, concerning eternal damnation. But folks, I'm going to tell you right now, I've made up my mind, and I hope you make up your mind, that I don't care if the entire world, the entire Christian church in America, the West, across the world, I don't care if every single one of them decide to turn away from the foundational doctrines and truths of Christianity in context in the New Covenant. If they want to turn away from salvation only through Jesus, through faith, if they want to go back and keep the law and go back under the curse, if they want to deny Jesus is God manifested in the flesh, if they want to just forsake it all and try to keep the law, you know what? I'm not going to quit preaching, teaching the word of truth and standing for it, because you know what? I know somebody is going to hear, somebody's going to believe, somebody's going to respond. And that is the good news. I am hearing some good reports. And I remember, you know, Psalm 27, one of the things he says, in fact, let's go there. I'll show you what the Lord spoke to me. Because he knew I was getting a little depressed and a little discouraged with the constant contention and people's psycho beliefs and seared consciences out there. And boy, I'm going to tell you, there's some psycho beliefs out there. But Psalm 27, as you turn in there, I just want to say this, but see, hear what I'm about to tell you. If you don't take time in prayer and you don't take time to ask God to speak to you and to help you and show you and take time to open your Bible up and God say, God, speak to me. If you don't take time to do that, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the truth that you need. You're going to miss out on the Word of God, the comfort of God, and the strength of God that you need. But one of the things that God spoke to me and really encouraged me here, I got down to verse 12, because my list of enemies is growing out there. And I got down to verse 12, and again, the Lord spoke to me through the whole thing, but he says here, deliver me not over to the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelly. But look what he says here. He said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, I looked this up. What was interesting, I looked up some words in this passage because, you know, everybody says, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? I had somebody call me from, you know, from up north and say, what does it mean to wait on the Lord? Well, it doesn't just mean to sit and do nothing or to just go about your day. The word wait on the Lord, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means to allow yourself to get intertwined with the Lord. Meaning you've been enough time to get, as the old song said, wrapped up, tied up, tangled up with Jesus. Right? You literally, what it's talking about, you literally go spend the time with him so that you get, you and him get intertwined as one. That's what wait on the Lord means. And that's what the Lord was telling me. It's like you stay, you make sure you don't let yourself get distracted. You don't let yourself get too busy contending and doing all these things. But you spend enough time with me and get make sure we get entwined together so that we are one. It's the only way that you're going to find strength, that your heart will be strengthened. And then when he said here, be of good courage. This is interesting because what was I saying? Lord, I'm getting a little tired of this battle. And if you look up the word, be of good courage, it literally means in battle. Be of good courage. Stir up your courage to stay in the battle and keep fighting. Are you fighting the devil, your family? Are you fighting in prayer? Are you fighting, binding the devil, resisting the devil? Fighting the lies, fighting deception, fighting false doctrine, fighting strife and division in your marriage, fighting the world trying to carry away your kids. Are you fighting? Well, the Lord wants you to say, guess what? He said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have fainted. I would, meaning I would have lost strength. I would have lost courage. I would have lost. But I believe. See, and this is where faith comes in. I believe in Jesus' name, through the blood of Jesus, through the word of God, through the truth of Scripture, through sound doctrine. I believe if I keep standing and I keep speaking and I keep fighting and I keep praying and I keep resisting and I keep binding, I believe I'm going to see good things from the Lord, the land of the living, that I am going to see people delivered from deception and lies and false teaching, that I am going to see prodigals come home, that I am going to see the lost get saved and surrender to Jesus Christ, that I am going to see the sick healed, the dead raised, the blind see, the deaf hear. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying to see the goodness of the Lord, the power of God in the land of the living. So I want to tell you, we have got to be of good courage and press on until we see God come in power in revival again. Folks, I'll tell you something. I have seen the dead raised with my own eyes in the name of Jesus. I have prayed for the deaf and seen them hear. I have seen the crippled walk. I have seen cancer disappear. I have seen people dying in the hospital instantly healed and raised up in the name of Jesus. But folks, we are not seeing enough of that right now. Where is the power of God in your life, in your family, even in this church? Are you praying? Are you believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? If you're not praying for it, if you're not believing for it, then guess what? You're going to faint. You're going to lose courage. You're going to have to fight. I had a person call me or contact me and ask me to call them, and I called them. And they're in tears. This woman has grown children, married, and had their own children. But she knows they're in deception. They're in a bad ministry, a bad church teaching bad things. And she's in tears over it. And I'm like, you're just going to have to fight. I told her, I said, I got to groan what I'm fighting for. I said, but you know what? And I told her, I said, I have a grown one that ran off to Chicago, shacked up with her boyfriend. She was raised Christian. She knows better than to live in that sin. She knows the truth of heaven and hell. She knows what it means to walk with her. She's had God speak to her, God touch her, God heal her. Even a miracle happened around her birth. But I want to tell you something. I prayed, and it took several years, but I just kept praying for that God would bring her out of Chicago, that God would bring her out of that bad relationship, that God would bring her back to Alabama, to her home, where she's supposed to be. I knew it was God's will for her life to be back here and away from that bad guy. And you know what? I told this woman on the phone, I said, I've been fighting this battle over her for several years, and I'm winning. I said, it's not finished yet, but I'm winning in Jesus' name. I said, fight for your children. Fight against that spirit of deception, error, sin. Bind the demon. Fast and pray. Spend time in prayer. Break the curses. Tell them the truth. Keep preaching the truth to them. I used to say this years ago when I was teaching on spiritual warfare almost all the time back in the 80s and 90s. You know, Paul said, it's fight the good fight of faith, didn't he? You know why he calls it a good fight? Because you win if you fight. But if you put the sword up and you don't pray and you don't fast and you don't spend time with God and you don't keep resisting the devil and you don't keep using the weapons of warfare, guess what? If you don't fight, you can't win. But if you fight in Jesus' name, you can win. You might not win every battle, but you can win the war. Too many Christians have given up. They've fainted. They've grown weak. They've left the place of prayer, waiting on the Lord and becoming one with Him. They've left the place where they can hear His voice and discern what the Spirit is saying. They've prayed and prayed, and they haven't seen answers to prayers, and so many have given up. Listen, this thing with Caitlin, I've been battling for years. And I don't mind saying, I hope she listens. I don't care. Because all this stuff I'm telling you about her, I told her to her face. Still won't talk to me. I'd send her text. I love you, babe. Miss you. Won't respond. I can't even remember the last time she responded. I think it was Christmas time last year that she actually responded to a text. So, didn't text me, call me, visit me on my birthday, Father's Day, nothing. But you know what? I don't care. She's not in Chicago. She's not shacked up with that unsaved, boyfriend. She's not living in fornication with Homo Joe. And I'm not going to quit fighting for her. Amen. I don't know, some parents out there, you've given up. Don't give up. Some of you have given up on teenagers that still live in the house. Well, whatever. I'm just going to give up and let the world win, let the devil win. No. No, do that. Fight. Fight, 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 fight. See, sometimes when it gets heavy, when it gets discouraging, when it gets disappointing. Hey, look, you know what? I'm not trying to build a mega church here. That's never been my goal. But I, as a pastor, sometimes I get disappointed when people come and they leave. And I know they didn't, that what God wanted to accomplish in their lives was not accomplished. And that's very disappointing and discouraging. Some pastors, all they want, their idol is church growth no matter what. I'm like, I don't know. Sometimes I think we need it, and sometimes I'm happy we don't have it. More people, more problems, right? One thing I can say, and I can honestly say this, I know, again, I come off as strong and harsh and mean sometimes. But anybody that knows, that takes the time, knows I care about them. I care about all of you guys in here. We've had a lot of fun times. We've had a lot of tense moments. But you know what? A church, a pastor, elder, we have to deal with those tense moments, don't we? Everybody's family, you guys have families in here, married folks, and you had kids, or you got kids still in the house. You love each other, but is it always smooth sailing? No, the church is supposed to be a big family, you know? We love each other, but is it always going to be smooth sailing? No. Why? Because we're all flawed. People get into error and attitudes, right? Oh, I just wanted to share this with you today. I really didn't want to get into a whole lot. I've spent the last couple of weeks, hour and a half, 2 hour sermons. I don't want to wear you out. I don't know. We even get to this right here. I don't even want to do it now. I don't see the point in it. I think the Lord wants us to, when David, the whole thing with David, remember everybody with David and Ziklag? Anybody remember that story? David got it out of, he got out of God's will. Why? Why was David out of God's will? Well, he'd spent all these years running from Saul. He was beginning to wonder, God, is your promise of me being king and you removing my enemy from this situation? Are you ever going to fulfill your promises to me? Why am I ever going to see it? You told me I was going to be king. You anointed me. Samuel anointed me. The Spirit of God came on me. And yet I'm chased in the wilderness by this insane, backslidden believer throwing javelins at me. Supposed to be my father-in-law, supposed to be my king, supposed to be my elder, my mentor. Yet he's persecuting me, he's chasing me through the wilderness. And this goes on for years. And David finally gets discouraged. And he finally gets so discouraged, think about this, he gets so discouraged that he decides to go live with the Philistines. You remember the Philistines, the one they were in battle with, the one that he fought their champion, Goliath? The Nephilim, and David kills him and takes his head off, and then a few years later, David ends up living with the Philistines. In fact, in 2 Samuel, it tells us He spent 16 months living with the Philistines. They gave him a town, Ziklag. And so David decides one day the Philistines were going to go to war against the Israelites. And David is going to go with them. Now this, you want to talk about a tense moment. So David shows up to fight his own people, the Philistines. And there were five lords of the Philistines, five kings, five leaders. And the other four saw him and said, oh, whoa, what's this guy doing here? So they sent David home. Now that was God intervening, because David was going to have to make a choice in the midst of this battle, which side he was on. But when David gets back, because he's out of God's will, and because he was about to go to war with his own people, he comes home and finds Ziklag burned to the ground. Finds all him and his men, their wives, children, everything has been taken captive by an enemy army. And it was so bad a day for David and his men. Can you imagine, after years of running, they end up living with the Philistines? They get home in their town, their homes are burned and robbed, and their wives and children are taken captive by killers. And the Bible says the men of David wept till they had no more power to weep. Bad day. So bad that David's men who loved him and were loyal to him and would risk their lives for him spake of stoning David. And David had to choose at that moment what he was going to do. Give up, let his heart faint, draw back, run away, or just let them kill him, whatever. But the Bible says this, if you go back and you read the story, it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Meaning he went back to the place of prayer. He went back and said, okay, God, I've screwed up. Now, of course, he didn't say this, but I'm telling you, when he went back to the Lord and he said, okay, God, this is a mess. What do I do? You know what the Lord tells him to do? The Lord tells him, you go pursue this enemy. You go fight this enemy, and you will recover everything. So encouraging yourself in the Lord means getting back in that place of prayer and getting back in the fight, getting back exercising spiritual warfare, binding Satan, resisting Satan, speaking the word of God, fighting. And so David said, Lord, will I recover? Will I overtake this troop? Will I get it back? And the Lord said, you go fight and you'll recover everything. So David obeyed that word of the Lord. He heard the voice of God and he got back in the fight. And you know what happened? He went and found them. God did a supernatural work. He recovered everything. They got their wives back, their children back. They got all of their possessions back. And while this battle was going on, there was another battle going on. And God was in the process of judging Saul and removing King Saul. And it was at that time that Saul died. See, you never know. Your trial, your struggle, it could be years long. You could be at a point where, Lord, I'm dealing with this for years. I'm discouraged. I'm tired. I'm weary. I don't want to fight. But it's when you're fighting, and you may be fighting an enemy over here, and you're not even aware that God is working out the situation over there to work for you, to bring about His will and His destiny and His blessing and the breakthrough that you need over here while you're fighting this battle because you chose to get back up and fight. Somebody needs to hear that. It's time to get back up and fight. You're laying there in depression. You're laying there giving in to alcohol. Maybe taking some pills that were stuck in a drawer somewhere. You're trying to find peace. in television and movies and entertainment. The Lord said, you quit fighting. You quit fighting. You quit believing. You let yourself faint. You let yourself get weary. You let discouragement set in. Listen, folks, the devil's always going to bring discouragement when it seems like your prayers and your fight has been, your answer has been delayed. But you encourage yourself by going back and saying, God, and what did David? David had them bring the ephod. It says David inquired of the Lord, and God spoke to him there. Pursue this troop. You will overtake everything. You can read it all. 2 Samuel 30, 29, 30, in that range somewhere. I ain't playing this. So there it is. It's somewhere around there. But he recovered everything. And God took out Saul. And they came. And they finally came and they anointed David king over Judah, and he was king in Hebron for 7 years. But God began to fulfill the promise, the call on his life, his will, the will of God for his life. He removed his enemy. So, believe God. Get back in the fight. Don't let discouragement, heaviness, oppression, lies, delayed answers. Don't let those things cause you to give up and draw back, faint, get weak. Listen, you could start back fighting this battle over here by spending time with God and He can speak to you and turn everything around. Amen. We'll do that next week, hope, God willing. Let's stand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I think we need to do something a little peppy. Why don't we do We Will Rise? You got the words to that? Can you put the words up? I know you were playing it a minute ago. While Kevin's getting that ready, it's according to that, hopefully it's right back there, 5 till 12. I'm doing pretty good. Y'all might get to eat with your Baptist friends today. Let's just worship the Lord a minute with this song. It's a little happier, and I want to end kind of on a happy note. It's time that we, you know, they say in this song, yes, Lord, we will ride with you. And that's really what it's about. Your strength comes from with the Lord. Your strength comes from hearing the Lord. Remember, he says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and the Lord will strengthen your heart. How many of you need your heart strength? I know I do sometimes. Amen. You find it, brother? All right, let's do this song. We Will Ride. This is from the Brownsville Revival. It's a good song.
He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse across this land. And he's calling out to you and me. Will you ride with me? Will you ride with me? We say yes. You ride with you. He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand, and he's riding a white horse. And he's calling out, you and me. You ride with me. will you rise? We say yes, Lord. We'll rise. We say yes, Lord.
Up and fight in the name of Jesus with the truth of your word. We will stand and fight We will stand and declare, Lord, the truth of Scripture, sound doctrine, in context. We will not allow ourselves to be deceived, misled. We will seek you, Lord. We will ride with you. We will be with you. We will spend time with you. We will let you lead us and guide us into all truth. Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Your word, this Bible, is your inspired, God-breathed, infallible word. And we thank you for it. It is truly, God, a light. It is a lamp and a light to our path, Lord. I ask you to bless your people, more especially those that have been weary, those that have been oppressed, those that have been fainting and giving up and backing up. I pray that they will be encouraged today to get back in the fight, to ride with you, to stand up and fight. Strengthen their heart. Give them your courage and strength. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Praise be to God. We are finished today. Anybody have a prayer request? I know there's a ladies' meeting tonight. Is it here, babe?